Hour 4 of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. We got Rangers baseball coming up here at 6:30. Lots of great content coming up this hour. LA Live, G-Bag of the Day, starting at 5:30. Expressway kicks off at 5:20. Here's your chief.
How many teams can realistically win the Super Bowl this year? Do the Cowboys crack the list? Right after this.
But at the end of the day, it's about taking it a day by a time. A day and a day, just continuing to do that.
You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game.
It doesn't matter. He pulls another rabbit out of his head.
First, we start with your stat of the day, courtesy of Warren Sharp at Sharp Football. Offensive snaps with a lead in 2025. The New York Jets dead balls last. 66 snaps that they had offensively with a lead. Can you believe that? That's like one game's worth. It's basically one game's worth of offensive snaps where they played with a lead. That is truly terrible. You have the Seahawks and the Patriots, though, 1-2 in the league in terms of having a high number of offensive snaps with a lead last year.
And 600?
New England was one at 578 snaps.
Okay.
Seattle was number two with 516 snaps. But when you look at the top 12, all of them made the playoffs last year. There's only one outlier team who was one of the worst in the league in terms of playing with a lead and having a number of offensive snaps. 178 snaps for the Carolina Panthers. Only the Jets, Saints, Raiders, and Titans were worse. But, of course, we know that division sucks, and they were clearly the worst team from a win-loss record standpoint making the playoffs. But it's an interesting number to look at. How many snaps do you have offensively where you are playing with a lead? And all the top teams in that category, of course, made it to the playoffs last year. But only 66 for the Jets. That's disgusting, dude.
That's gross.
What'd you guys think of Aaron Rodgers?
With his parents?
That's awesome.
He's making it right.
Got that reunion happening. Yeah, I thought at first I was like, is this AI? Are we getting ball sacks? But no, enough people had proved that that was a real photo.
It came from his Instagram account.
Now, my question was, as I'm looking at it, was this the brother that he famously had drama with? Or are there more than one brother? Because the one brother kind of touched this thing off like 10 or 12 years ago, the reality TV guy.
Jordan Wright.
Jordan Rodgers.
And I don't think that was Jordan
in the picture.
I don't
think Jordan Rodgers is in the picture. No. So I don't think the healing is 100% complete. I think it's like 80% done. But then my other thought was, man, this wife or fiance or whatever he has really given him a checkup from the neck up that he needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I'm seeing the wedding ring on his...
But she was not in the pictures.
She was not in the photos,
again,
no.
Not real.
He's keeping her as an alias.
I think she's fake, dude. I think he's married to the game.
Yeah, he might be ball-sacking us on this one, but it always seemed like he was jumping from one gal to another.
True.
It doesn't seem like he is bachelor for long guy.
No, and he might just be really wanting to keep it private, and I respect it, because he did have a lot of very public relationships with like Danica Patrick and Shailene Woodley, and they didn't end well.
Someone said Aaron Rodgers talked to his family before the Bears had a 4,000-yard passer.
Oh, gosh.
Because even Caleb Williams was just shy of 4,000 yards last year. But that was a surprise. Didn't have it on the bingo card. But that's a wonderful thing, man. Congratulations to the Rodgers family.
Olivia,
I guess
Munn.
We just got to get the brother going here a little bit.
Can't forget Olivia Munn.
Okay, how many teams do you think realistically could win the Super Bowl?
12.
In 2026, you're going with a dozen teams.
Dozen teams.
How many teams could realistically win the Super Bowl?
I'm sorry. Was I supposed to work this up in the break?
No. You can just
throw it out there.
You can just shoot from the hip.
You know
how many teams? How many teams you think could do it? In your brain, in your mind.
32.
Around 10.
In your heart. Yeah, that was kind of the number that I would have been looking at. Like maybe like 8 to 10 teams realistically could win the Super Bowl. But I think last year maybe changed it a little bit because nobody had Seattle and Sam Darnold.
No.
Nobody had the Patriots. Yeah. Even me, I was excited about what the Patriots could do with such an easy schedule. I thought, bold prediction, they could make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they end up going to the Super Bowl. So maybe the math has changed here and there's enough parity going around. 16, you're going 16 teams.
Yeah,
half the league has a legitimate chance at winning the Super Bowl.
Because I'd go Bills Patriots in the AFC East. Yes? Agree? Those Patriots have a chance.
Yes.
AFC North, because of the quarterbacks, I still have Cincinnati in there because of Burrow. Agree, disagree?
Yeah.
Disagree.
Baltimore.
Yeah, yes. Baltimore and yes. Cincinnati could both.
I don't have anybody in the AFC South.
Jackson Texans could do it.
Yeah, I was about to say, even the Texans defense.
I don't trust C.J. Stroud.
I get that, but right, you didn't trust Sam Darnold either.
You're right.
C.J. Stroud's never had an offensive line or a running game. They brought in three new starters on the offensive line.
David Montgomery. Yeah, David Montgomery I do like. But he's got to play a lot better. But that defense is damn nasty. Denver, Kansas City, Chargers. I think all could.
Yeah. I'm doubtful on Kansas City, but just out of those
Mahomes,
three,
right?
At least.
Respect for Mahomes.
Sure.
Cowboys, Eagles?
Yes.
Lions, Packers?
Bears,
and
too.
Vikings. And Bears? Bears. You think all of them?
No,
all
not
them?
The okay. Bears. Not the Bears.
You think Kyler Murray could take his team to the promised land?
I have a lot of respect for what they've built there.
I have respect to O'Connell. Minnesota. Yeah, I'm with you. I got nobody in the South.
NFC South?
Nobody.
Nobody. Yeah, I'm with you.
And in the West, everybody but Arizona.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of teams.
That is quite a few. Well, Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated, he has selected 14 teams that he think could actually win the Super Bowl this year. There's a couple that will surprise you and a couple that are not on this top 14 that would also surprise you. The Seattle Seahawks, of course. You have the Niners, the Patriots, the Rams. Will we get to the Cowboys? You have the Chargers, the Jags, the Texans.
Oh, he's got the Jags. See, I ruled out the Jags.
Got the Packers, got the Lions. Got the Broncos.
Okay.
He's got the Bears, Bills, Ravens, and the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm. No Cincy?
He does not have Cincy, no.
I think you got to put him in there.
His reasoning for Cincy not being on the list is because even though their defense he thinks will be big time improved,
yeah,
he just thinks structurally the offense is too dependent on the health of Burrow and Chase. And so he just can't bank
okay,
on
so
that.
Okay, so Chase is interesting because is T. Higgins not a guy that can step up and be a one? Like, CD's out. George Pickens kept that offense fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see T. Higgins being a guy that you're just like, okay, no problem. You're wide receiver right. One. The offense can continue to hum. But just the health of Joe Burrow, I guess he just simply cannot bank on that. He also had the Chiefs as a team not in real contention to play in the Super Bowl this year.
I mean, I don't think their roster is good enough either, but it's just Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid.
Mahomes and Andy Reid, I just kind of have some deference for that
as
well. I think the Kenneth Walker thing will pay dividends, but can their passing game be explosive enough? I certainly have my doubts, but he does not have the Chiefs in there. But again, he does have the Cowboys. He says this is the most controversial team on the list, coming off 2025 season in which they posted one of the top 10 offenses in the NFL in explosive plays, were third in first downs generated, had a team quarterback rating within a point of the Niners, who are the best in the league. Those are attractive bones when held in conjunction with the fact that Dallas took a big swing at Christian Parker at defensive coordinator, plus doing what they did in free agency and the draft. He's expecting the defense to at least be average, and he thinks that's going to be enough for them. He loves the offense so much, and he thinks the defense can be, I guess, slightly good enough to go ahead and be a Super Bowl contender. This has to make you feel incredible, Wolchuk.
Phenomenal.
Because you got him in the NFC championship
game. NFC title game, baby. Bold prediction. Let's go. But I didn't have him in the Super Bowl.
No, you don't have him in the Super Bowl, but
like
if you have him in the,
little, you know,
I mean, if you have him in the NFC Championship game,
they got a chance.
They got a chance at a Super
right.
Bowl.
Final Four team.
A lot of pressure on your Christian Parker.
Let's go, CP. You got this, bro.
What do you guys think? Should Nick Sirianni have revealed this?
Probably not. I think he reveals too much.
Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni reportedly has been exploring ChatGPT this offseason to keep his message fresh entering year six. Okay, so he's like, okay, I have all these different inspiring sports stories to keep my guys motivated, and he's basically emptied the clip over the last 5 years, and he doesn't want to recycle stories, and so now he's leaning on artificial intelligence to give him some motivational talking points for his football team. I'm not totally crapping on this as an idea and as a resource. I don't know that I would have revealed that.
I think you nailed it. You know, I think it really at its core, like, it's not really artificial intelligence. It's just a better Google search engine, you know, is what it really is.
Sure.
It's like a plussed up Yahoo search or whatever. But at the same time, like, the younger generation feels animosity towards AI. For a lot of reasons. They hate AI slop. They hate the AI threat to different industries. And it's kind of a polarizing subject. And they might lose respect for you if, you know, they see that you're coming. I know, you know, students lose respect for their teachers when they accidentally leave some AI clues in their presentations or whatever. Like, it just kind of seems lazy, or like you don't have the answers to stuff. And I don't know if we'll ever, you know, get to a point where it is reached a point of reverence. There's always going to be a downside
and
to
just
it.
Just to clarify, this wasn't the butt. This wasn't butt correct. Because, I mean, I think I saw the same thing as you did. And we got 940. It's like, stop. That was from an AI satire account. It wasn't really Sirianni. I think it was real.
No, it is real. It's from The Athletic. It is a real report.
Yeah.
Now people have taken this and done bits with it.
Right.
Putting screenshots of fake emails that were clearly put together by artificial intelligence and things like that. But the actual story itself of Nick Sirianni revealing this to Eagles reporters, that is 100% factual. So, again, I just don't think that's something that he should have revealed. Keep that.
Yeah, you
got to
keep that in the house.
Come on now,
this is America,
Nick.
Man.
By the way, we are 50 days away until opening kickoff. That's
nice.
It, boys.
Oh, let's go.
We are just 50 days away. Now, I do not understand all of the love for the New York Giants.
Ah, dude, me either. Dude.
It's
horrible.
All these media members are just...
It's horrible. They got a competent coach now.
They have a competent coach, and they had a good draft.
They have a competent coach.
But do they have a quarterback?
They haven't had a competent coach in there since Tom Coughlin, and that's what they're looking at right now. They're saying that the Giants needed a guy that could go in there and wasn't a fool, you know, and they've struggled so badly with coaches there, you know, with hires and stuff. And they did. They ran off Tom Coughlin, and you know, this guy is here. He is veteran coach, won a lot of games. Harbaugh is, you know, he's say what you want about him, though. Every year we talk about his team being in the Super Bowl or being in the playoffs or being in the hunt. You know, so they're saying this because of him, and they're seeing a lot of talent there. That I mean, now I'm not saying all the positions have talent, but their defense, their front seven. You know, they just needed a competent coach, and it looks like they got one.
Yeah, Adam Schefter's just basically saying if they can stay healthy with Dart and Scadaboo and Neighbors, he says, I think they're a playoff team. I really do.
Wow.
And he's not the only one.
This NFC East might be a dogfight when it's all said and done.
I mean, I think it's the most improved division in football. I really do. With the coaches, with the talent and free agency, the draft, I think every team had a pretty good draft in the division this year. So I do. I mean, I think that the floor has been raised within this division. It's just health at quarterback is a question with Jaden Daniels. I don't think Jackson Dart can stay healthy. And then we got to hope that the Dak can, right? But Hurts and the Eagles, I think, they've come back to the pack in a big way.
I would actually listen to an argument that Washington could be a playoff team. I think New York, I'd be willing to accept the fact they'll be better than next year if Jackson Dart stays healthy. But I don't think Cam Scadaboo is good. And Malik Neighbors might not play till we get to like October.
Yeah, the Neighbors thing would be very, very scary. And trusting the health of Jackson Dart would be insane at this point. So.
I mean, the clips that I saw today of the reckless plays that he made, hilarious. You know, trying to stiff arm head slap a guy, jumping into tackles, you know, there's a long way to go. And if you have that starting of a baseline, I don't know if you can snap your fingers in year two and get those tendencies out of you.
Yeah, I don't think you can correct that necessarily. He's seeking contact at the quarterback position, which is generally not something you want to do. But man, the New York national media bias right now is crazy. Loving up on the Giants. You also had Adam Schefter saying on his podcast in regards to Max Crosby, and we've already missed out on Jordan Brooks. We were hopeful that maybe Jordan Brooks, the Dolphins linebacker, on an expiring deal could be a trade deadline candidate for the Cowboys to bolster the linebacker room. But today he gets the extension, so that's probably not a likely scenario for the Cowboys. Max Crosby is another guy that, of course, we've held out some hope that if he hits the ground running and shows that he is healthy and still a top-tier version of himself, that maybe he could be a guy traded at the deadline. But Adam Schefter says, I see him staying in Vegas, helping this team, and being a Raider for life, despite all the people that are still throwing him out there as a guy that could be available on the market. So I wouldn't totally rule it out, of course, if you come correct with an incredible offer. But Adam Schefter feels like Max Crosby, after the Ravens' ridiculous trade fiasco, is going to remain a Raider for life. So,
well, I mean, we got that round of denials last year after Trey Wingo's initial report. Like, oh, these people don't know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. I think it's important for Max Crosby, as long as he is a Raider, to signal, I love you guys and you love me back. I think it's probably good advice from his agent. Just because everything that Max Crosby has going for him as far as spending his entire career there and being great, you can make a living for the rest of your life post-playing just by doing endorsement deals and advertisements around the Las Vegas Raiders. That's where you're at right now is Max Crosby. If the fan base turns on you because you're championship hunting or you signal you want out or your love is waning in any way, that puts that bag in jeopardy. So it really is just management of his marketability for the franchise for the rest of his life.
I like that. I like that spin there. Now, you also had Schefter saying that multiple teams felt like DeShon Stribling from Ole Miss was the best wide receiver in this draft. Mm. He ends up going 33 to the Niners. And he says even the Rams were targeting him before the Niners selected him. But that was one of those...
13. He was a late bloomer in the process that really kind of jumped on like the last month leading into it. I think I put a 3 on him personally. He's got some Pickens-like traits with the size, his ability to move after the catch, he can high point the football, but I just didn't see best receiver in the draft. Maybe he ends up being that guy.
I didn't watch him because by the time he was emerging into it, I was like, well, whatever. You know, I'm close enough to the draft. I'm done.
Yeah.
So
the Niners need him. The Niners need him to do something, man. They've had some bad drafts recently. You got Mike Evans, you got Pearsall, Kittle off the injury.
Yeah.
Maybe Shanahan's got something up his sleeve there with Stribling to take over for Ayuk.
Well, thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Brian?
Yeah, 68th best player on my board.
All right. We got the play Shoddy and Adams got to get figured out for 2026 in order to be taken seriously as great coaches. Then we'll get the G-Bag of the Day in LA Live coming up next, The Fan. All right, welcome back, Nation. It's time to hit the expressway. We go commercial-free to the top from here. The expressway is brought to you by the on-time experts. The tease was, the question was that I've been building up to, where Shoddy and Adams got to get it figured out in 2026 in order to be taken seriously as coaches. It is not third down. It is not red zone. It is not penalties. Okay, what is it? Franklin injury attorney text line is open. 903 said special teams, you know, and maybe that'd be for their special teams coordinator.
Not for Clayton Adams.
To get figured out, but not Clayton Adams. It's not field position. Guess the 469, which is related.
And is it middle of the field?
Field position would help a lot. Throw into the middle of the field?
Yeah, like intermediate passing game?
No.
But no,
quick passing game?
He gave us a really good hint earlier.
With Bill Walsh.
The Bill Walsh hint.
And what was the Bill Walsh hint leading you towards, Chief?
It was leading me towards the scripted plays.
Bang, bang.
Oh, the scripted plays.
Bang, bang.
Yeah, because they've sucked starting games.
Yes. So Warren Sharp today did the best first quarter offenses over the last 3 years, and it went viral, so I saw it. But I actually replied to Warren. I said, man, there's so much turnover from year to year. It's hard to really get a great understanding for what to project for 2026 based on what's happened over the last 3 years.
Yeah,
quarterbacks have changed.
Last year would be really all I would care about.
So he had the Cowboys 12th over the last 3 years. And I'm like, man, that's got to be low because Dak was hurt in 2025 or 4. And, you know, the last year of Mike McCarthy was just bad. But then I went to just this year, and they were 15th. The Cowboys were 15th in the NFL, 4.7 points per first quarter, really on pace for like 19 points per game based on their first quarter output. The Rams were number one at 6.8, just to give you a reference point for what the goal could be around a touchdown or 8 points or something like that, I guess, on the high end. There might be some outlier seasons as far as what was the best of all time. But what goes into that for me is the game plan and how ready we are to catch them sleeping. And I thought, man, for Shoddy's criticism that I think even I hold as maybe the number one Shoddy fan in the DFW media as far as the play calling, we got to get this right. And then for Clayton Adams to be taken seriously as a head coach, if you could be top three in the league in something like that, I think it would go a long way to proving Monday through Saturday you're out-prepping the league.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you have some teams that I would imagine they get off to these fast starts and then that's kind of it. They've emptied the tank. They have this first quarter, they hit the ground running, and then they fall apart. Obviously, you want to find some level of consistency here where you're not swinging in one direction either way. But that's kind of surprising to me because I was thinking about, I guess just the latter half of the year was something that stands out where it felt like they were struggling to score at times.
In the second half, for sure.
Yeah, there were some of those moments. But, yeah, I would not have guessed that they were 15th in the league in first quarter scoring.
For a team that was top five in most offensive categories.
Yeah, that's a huge
clip. Clearly they're doing a great job adjusting as the game goes on.
Yes.
Maybe they need to see you play your game that day and then start making their adjustments, and they're not quite as good at projecting what you're going to be bringing to the party. Cowboys rookie defensive back Caleb Downs named as the number two emerging rookie on the NFL's PA's Rising Stars list. The ranking is based on on-field performance, consumer interest, and other factors that was pointed out by Joseph Hoyt on Cowboys Twitter. So pretty cool for, what was he, 11th pick, 12th pick?
11th.
Yeah, traded up. Yeah. Little trade happened
there. They did a little swapper with Miami.
Where do the Cowboys go now that Jordan Brooks has signed an extension with the Dolphins, 3 years, $17 million per season? We talked about that a little bit later on. For me, the idea needs to ferment with the Cowboys front office and really get drunk on the idea of winning is that when Dak is done, you want to be bad for a year or two. You know, I have a couple of top five picks, but we don't need to be managing this thing year to year and saying, well, we can't overspend now because we want to be respectable in 2029 and we can't borrow too much from the future. You know, you need to get really, really aggressive with what is left for Dak's career. And looking at the contract, I would be hard-pressed to find a way that they would add a fourth contract to it, considering how much of a – I mean, there's a snowball effect of what's been building over the last 7 or 8 years. And on the other side of it, there's going to be dead money, and I think you want to embrace that. So let's break out the credit card and go shopping for a guy. I don't think it's Brooks, although it could be. You know, if you want that all pro level linebacker, it's going to be between $15 and $20 million. And, you know, there's a pretty big gap to close from the Cowboys to the rest of the best teams in the NFC. I think the Rams and Seahawks are significantly better. How about expectations for the Eagles offense, guys? Last night I was listening to the Ross Tucker podcast. He had on Greg Cassell doing an NFC East preview. I think the nephew of Howard Cosell, film watcher.
Yeah, Greg's good.
He might have started this game, Brian, of media scouts.
Yeah.
Did he?
He was one of those guys. Yeah, he was one of the Ridge. Yeah.
And I enjoy his content. You know, but he brought up something that we hadn't talked about before. He was asked about the Eagles specifically for Jalen Hurts in this Sean Mannion offense, and he was asked what he expects from Jalen Hurts with another new OC. This time off the O'Connell coaching tree or the Shanahan coaching tree, said even though Hurts has had a new OC every year of his career since he started college, this isn't one that he's done. He has never been asked to play in this type of offense with the motion and the play action and the under center and West Coast based. And his first point was, we don't know if it can work. And if it does, we don't know how long it is going to take for it to work. I thought that was an interesting point. In light of that, what do you guys expect here from Jalen Hurts moving forward?
I think this thing's going to unravel and just be a terrible season for him. And the Eagles are ultimately going to have a new quarterback a year from now. I really don't. I think this is headed towards a divorce. Doesn't sound like the organization has a ton of faith in him. Now, Sean Mannion might end up being a really good offensive coordinator. But the question will be, do him and Devontae Smith have enough to really make the exile of A.J. Brown, which is what it feels like it was, not be a huge miss in their offense? And I just think A.J. Brown's been so productive, I don't know how they can't miss it. And I love Mekhi Lemon. The numbers do show, statistically, just according to AI, that Hurts has been okay throwing over the middle of the field. They just haven't done it a lot.
Yeah.
Now, maybe the reason they haven't done it a lot is because he doesn't like to do it. But to your point of adding, you know, Mekhi Lemon and Eli Stowers, like those are guys that excel on in-breaking routes. So there, the field being congested, that might be something that bodes well for him.
You know what's interesting about him, and you mentioned about small sample size. He hadn't played under center a lot. What do you think his touchdowns to interceptions are playing from under center?
Ooh. Wow. Ratio?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I would guess. I would think it's actually probably pretty good
because
they're doing it in, you know, it's elementary around the goal line, play action kind of stuff.
Put it this way, he's thrown 40 passes. Well, last year he threw 40 passes from underneath center. He completed 25 of them, is what he did.
Okay.
He had 5 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Yeah.
His average per attempt was almost 9 yards a throw.
Mm-hmm.
About his completion percentage, though, under center is only right at 63%, but it's a small sample size. If I'm Mannion and I kind of see numbers like this where his touchdowns, interceptions are incredible, his passer rating, his yards per attempt, I'm going to sure he'll try and under center a little bit. You know, if that's something I know that we all kind of worry.
Yeah.
He's predominantly, I mean, he had 395 attempts in shotgun last year.
If these teams are getting smart, man. The Eagles leaning that way in Washington. David Blau is going to put Jaden Daniels under center. One of the reasons Kingsbury is gone is he liked the gun so much.
Right.
And they figured it out. So I think coaching acumen-wise, the division is getting more difficult. And, you know, talent-wise, there's been upgrades across the board as well. We got to run because it's time now for LA Live. Into the Pimp Cup we go. Here's Lucius.
All right. Turn me up. Don't turn me down. G, back in the day, you do it every weekday on the Fan 530. How you doing? My name is LA. This is fueled by East Dallas Motor Cars, eastdallasmotorcars.com. Going for two today is our very own Fred Davis from the Fan After Dark host. He called into Westwood One. Fred has some questions about a certain bit that he heard on air.
We got Fred in Dallas. He's got a bone to pick with us, which let's pick it. What do you got, Fred?
Let's pick it.
I'm just curious where you came up with the idea for fair or foul.
Well, I've heard that you think that somehow we jacked the idea.
I mean, radio can be a very unforgiving business. So I just figured, you know, somebody who listens to
Fred,
one
first of all,
regular
fair or foul has been alive in the sports radio, sports talk medium since I've been a little guy back in the early 80s. And by no means did anybody at Westwood One jack that segment. If you're going to come to me and ask me if we stole a segment, please have it be something like a little more original than fair or foul.
Just ask me where you got the idea from, Pete. You're here in Dallas, so I just asked you a question. Where you got the idea for the segment from?
Well, to be honest with you, I fill in on Westwood One, and the segment was already here because the guy who hosts the show and does a phenomenal job, it's his segment, and it's his producer segment. But for them, I will tell you that if you're going to call a radio station and say, you jacked my bit, and treat us like Carlos Mencia.
No, I called and asked. It's fair. I mean, I'm asking you, man to man.
Actually, it's foul.
Man to man.
Okay. To be honest, I mean, honestly, like nobody's ripping off your radio ideas, dude. I can promise you that. And the only reason I have contention in my voice is because I know you called to challenge us.
I asked the question. Where did you get the segment from? You said where you got it from. That's it. I don't need anything else. You said the guy before you did it, period. Never heard him do it. Just ask a question. That's all I ask. I don't need your background or anything like that. Care less. Just ask you where you got the segment
care
from.
Less.
That's it, Pete.
All right, Fred, take it easy on the coffee, brother. We'll talk to you
I
soon.
Have to answer, I have
take
no idea.
Take it easy on the coffee, brother. Give me that beat, fool. That's a full-time jack move.
Oh, gosh. That's legendary.
Can't rule it out. Apparently the way he set this up was remarkably similar to Fred's style and cadence.
Yeah. He's a one of one.
Even though you can find references to a fair or foul baseball column in newspapers as far back as the 50s, Lucius.
We have someone else biting bits right here. It's a little operation called Buddy Carts.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Cartnarts.
It is like Cartnarts.
What
they confront people
And they do it like trolling wise. They're pretty rude about it, in a sense. Right in front of the grocery store, if you leave your cart out, the cart narcs come up there and, you know, confront you, may put you online or whatnot. It's friendly. Friendly banter, especially if you just go ahead and move your cart. Ah, you got me. But not these guys.
Buddy man, I just want to let you know, when you're done with your shopping cart, make sure you put it back where it belongs. What? Make sure after you're done with your shopping cart, you put it right back where it belongs.
Is you the shopping right superhero?
Yeah.
That's my man right there. That's my man right there.
Yeah.
He's new to the job. He was supposed to stay a little nicer. When you're done with the shopping cart, we need you to stop being lazy and put it back where it belongs. Alright?
So that's what we're doing. Y'all motherfuckers better be pranking the out of me.
You gotta put your shopping cart back.
But who the is you yelling at though?
Well, he's yelling. I'm being a little nicer.
Us Americans are too lazy, and we gotta make sure that we can stop being lazy.
You fucking lazy. I ain't fucking lazy. Yo. Who the fuck is y'all talking to?
Profanity.
Bad words.
Profanity. Hey, bro.
Poppy, that's bad words, Poppy. You gotta chill out. You gotta chill out.
If y'all don't get the fuck out my face right now, you gonna catch something you don't want. You know, you have a fucked up day.
Oh.
But you with the wrong.
You don't work the shop, right?
No, you work for the party.
Buddy.
Yeah, y'all get out of my way. You're going to catch something you don't want right now. Is he has it? Is a virus or something? Is
yeah, I got some mono.
Yeah.
You know what? When you said they were like the cart narcs biters, I thought, man, this is not going to be good, but I think they might have done it better.
Oh, wow.
This is good.
This is good.
Oh, no.
This is good.
They're more confrontational, funnier jokes. They're tag teaming the guy.
They're going to need some mace.
My bad.
They're going to need some mace.
Yeah. It's not going to end well.
No, it's not going to end well.
And I would
bro.
Say they are more lazy than the guy. They stole somebody's yeah. YouTube content.
Yeah. Straight up jacked it. Give me that beat, fool. You made it a hot line. I made it a hot song. All right. Rage baiting a Gen Z brat right here. Some Toxic Tuesday stuff. Rage baiting a Gen Z brat while gaming online. This kid is serious about his PC gaming. Parents, this is what your kid sounds like when they're playing up there in their room by themselves. Trust me, I played them.
Can't afford a PC, so stop talking.
What the f*** do you think I'm playing on right now? What the f*** do you think I'm playing on right now? Huh? You think I'm playing on a f***ing laptop? Do you think I'm playing on a standalone Quest? No, I'm a f***ing Valorant!
Wow.
I got him.
We got issues.
Got him. Man.
We have no future.
Psychos live among us, man.
That's bad. He was serious about his PC gaming,
what
bro.
What's he playing on right now?
Gosh dang. Wow.
He probably built it himself. Do you get shamed if you just have an Xbox or
I don't know, bro.
PlayStation these days?
I don't know.
You do.
I don't know.
I've played the real gamers are the PC guys.
Yeah,
there's
sure. The ones. I guess it's better. It moves better. I mean, I do have two more. Gaming PCs myself, but
yeah, okay.
I just use them for podcasting these days.
But you used to game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And once you go PC, it looks like the console is rendering really? Things in slow motion. Yeah.
So it's true.
It is true. Yeah.
Is that why I'm getting beat on some of these games when you play online?
Yeah, I think can be. Know. Yeah. It up to like be. A quarter second difference.
Some more toxic stuff. The fans at the Fanatics Fest were being toxic to Shannon Sharp when he tried to get a live read in while they were doing a live edition of the podcast Nightcap.
I don't know.
Before we get to the next questions, Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few... Bro, hey! Hey! I hope y'all don't know getting everybody here ain't free. We had to pay to get people. Come on.
Hey, I hear that, man.
Well
I
done.
Absolutely hear that.
We're not here for a 30-second commercial, dude.
30 seconds. Boot!
When you listen to the podcast in your car, you could just hit fast forward three times.
Yeah. And the last one on a Toxic Tuesday, we got a Marine staff sergeant goes off on a Marine that had either Meta glasses on or a GoPro on during field training. You're not supposed to be doing this whatsoever. Come on, man.
Guns, you ready?
Ready,
all right, at this time, back up this way, you
dumbass. You stupid moose.
God,
you
know
it's everybody else past you, you stupid
God, Cephar.
That thing needs to come the off too after this. You understand me?
Yes, Cephar.
But make sure this is on there and you show it to your family so they see how retarded you are.
Yes,
face down range.
Face down range.
Wow.
That's what it's like, huh?
Yeah, man. If you want to go to the Marines, it's going to sound something just like that.
The few, the proud.
That is I would love I think a YouTube channel of nothing but staff sergeants and drill sergeants.
That'd be entertaining.
It is good content.
Destroying their soldiers, motivating them, breaking them down,
tearing them down.
Yeah, our drill sergeant used to call us clowns. Every time he gives us instructions and we do it, he's like, "Oh, I love to see you juggle, clown."
Wow.
Yeah.
Better than bleeping R word.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a little too much for me, but you know, I guess comedic license. If you're a comedian or a drill sergeant, you get to use whatever words you want when it comes to building the next generation of soldiers.
I guess
to defend our freedom. Guess I'm willing to overlook it this time. We got Fred Davis versus Pete from Westwood One. You got Card Narcs 2.0, rage baiting a Gen Z brat, fans toxic to Shannon Sharp, Marine staff sergeant goes off on soldier recording. I'll go with Card Narcs 2.0. Chief, how about you?
Give me the Marine.
Okay, Lucius.
Fred.
We're tied at one, Wolchuk.
Freddie D.
Brian.
Marine.
We're tied at two. Jump on to at G-Bag Nation, where you will cast the decisive votes here in the G-Bag of the day. It's our Twitter account. Follow us all when we get there. Our handles are in the bio. We'll create an Insta poll, and you can vote on it over the next 10 minutes. At G-Bag Nation on Twitter, and towards the end of LA Live, we'll announce who's the champ. And speaking of that, here's Lucius.
It is a Toxic Tuesday edition of LA Live, right after the great Rick James. Baby.
All right, you squares. Time is home. Fire up this funk and let's have a show. It'll make you dance to some of everything.
Everybody get high.
Practiced a lot. Early morning dribbling through garbage cans. Summer camps, every day playing. And what did it lead to? Division III. Division III was designed to wean you off of the dream. Right? It really was. You were taught if you work really hard, good things will happen. Sometimes you work really hard and you still suck. I shouldn't use that term. I play Division III, but you're still not as good as you hope to be. So they set this league up. It looks real, totally looks real, but nobody cares. Nobody came to our games. If there were adults at our games, we'd all be like, whose parents are here? We had one game, I'll never forget it. It was the only one in the crowd was a woman and like a 4 or 5 year old little girl. And at halftime, the little girl ran out onto the court. I look at my teammate, I'm like, there's this little pumpkin going. And she hugs the ref. I'm like, holy bro. We got two spectators here, and it's the ref's wife and daughter. Shut it down.
That's good.
Arthritis for this.
Arthritis for that, baby. Shout out to all you D3 ballers out there. Almost there, bro. Just my knee ran out. It was my knee. Coach didn't like me. You know the politics. You know
it's always politics.
It's always the politics. Hey. Hey, this is LA Live for Tuesday, July 21st, 2026. It is a Toxic Tuesday edition of LA Live. Welcome in, folks.
Hey, this is my boy.
Shout out to the first time, last time, and long time listeners of this here station. I say that every Tuesday because every Tuesday somebody tells me, yeah, that's it for me, dog. That's it for me, L.A. I'm out, bro. L.A. Live is brought to you by Metroflow Plumbing. Shout out to those blue-collar ballers. Hey, it's a fight week, y'all. It is a fight week. And I would like for you guys and you Tolos, too, to judge who had the best face-to-face trash-talking appearance.
Okay?
Face-to-face trash-talking appearance. We have DFW's very own Earl Spence. He's returning to the ring this Saturday. You guys familiar with that, right?
Nice.
You guys up on that game?
I've not heard about that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Snuck up on us here.
Yeah. In Sydney, Australia, he's fighting Tim Zhu.
That's right.
For middleweight. Showdown at 160. 160. I think Spence is going up 2 weight classes or something for this fight here.
Dang.
Spence has been out of the ring for 3 years, you know, after that fight with Crawford.
Yep.
That was 2023 in July, around this time right here. So this is going to be a late fight since it is in Australia. It is scheduled to start here locally around 8. But there it's going to be like 11 a.m. We're going to be having a big fight at 11 a.m. The main card looked pretty great at first. You had Stephen Fulton Jr. on that joint. I was really excited to see that man fight. He's still going to be fighting. But was that Jamero Charlo?
Yeah.
One of the Charlo twins? Whichever one is fighting. Jamal Charlo, one of them fools? He didn't make it to Australia. Yeah. They denied his entry into Australia. Something about his visa or something like that. So he's not going to be on the fight. So that makes the card a little bit suspect for me in that sense. But Spence and Zhu were on PBC face-to-face. That's when you had the two fighters sit down and a moderator right there, and you guys ask them questions back and forth, and hopefully you can get some sparks and some fireworks out of these fighters, right?
Yeah.
All right, so it's hosted by Showtime Sean Porter, and they sat down with their promotional face-to-face interview. And out of 30-something minutes of this interview, I watched all of it. This was the most heated and contentious moment.
Is Tim Zhu ready for Earl Spence Jr.?
I think so. Why wouldn't it be? Is Earl Spence Jr. ready for Tim Zhu?
For sure, sir.
He cap on that. He know better than that.
What's cap?
I was going to say, do you know what that means? Cap. I mean, you not telling the truth.
I'm bluffing.
We shall see, you know how I come, you know how, I know what you're made of, of course.
But I'm saying, when it comes to fight night, all the plan, as Mike Tyson once said, when you get here, all your plans change. So that's what it is. We shall see.
Right.
I'm not saying in a disrespectful way, am I? I'm saying in a respectful way.
I don't think so. But if you shall see, is like he might be ready. I don't know. We should see.
Yeah, how am I supposed to know?
Dismissive.
No, I respect what you've done in your career, but you haven't had a fight in 3 years. How can I say that? This.
You want to spar today?
Yeah. Let's go.
I'm not that. I'm dead ass.
Yeah.
We can spar.
Yeah, let's go.
Come on.
No kidding, man.
This is the face to face, bro. These two guys are too respectful to each other. You know what I'm saying? I disrespected you, but I wasn't respectful. Was I disrespectful? Like, he kept saying that.
Yeah. Yeah, they could use some work in their promotional game.
Yeah.
Man, I'm just hoping going into this, now that I'm aware that it's happening, that Errol Spence can reignite his career. He's 36 years old. Do you think it's possible, Lucius?
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah.
Especially if he wins this.
Yeah, it's possible if he gets this done. But he's not going to win the trash talk battle.
No.
That's really bad. My man said that's capping. That's about it. Do you want to spar right now? That's about it. That's what happened in that face to face.
Yeah, not good.
We've probably had him in studio twice. We probably interviewed Errol Spence 3 or 4 times, and we could never get him like comfortable and conversational and energized and trash talk. He's very humble, at least publicly.
Yeah, very nice dude. Very nice dude. So by that, would you go on to watch this fight? If you didn't even know about Errol Spence, you don't want to see that.
No.
Yeah, you don't want to see that.
No, you're not going to tune in if you're not. I mean, obviously, we like Errol Spence. We're fans. But yeah.
He needs a fight to put himself back on the map.
Yeah.
You know, I think the Sue had a good point that it's been 3 years. You had the car wreck. You look terrible. You look like a shadow of yourself against Terrence Crawford. Mm. The car wreck and the detached retina probably got him, you know? And I'm looking for him to change everybody's thought on that coming up this weekend.
Well, on the opposite side of a promotional face-to-face, on September 12th, Mexican Independence Day weekend, we have Ryan Garcia. He's going to defend his welterweight title against British boxer Conor Benn. They're going to be doing that in T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. This fight will be on Paramount Plus, by the way, so I think everybody will be able to get to this one right here. They sat down for their face-to-face promotional interview with Ringside Magazine CEO, listen to this guy's name, Rick Versace-Reno.
He's got it together.
A.K.A. Mr. Versace. And here's how that went.
Listen, we're here now.
Hey, what
I'm
going to
punch your
I
head
bet
in.
It is. I get it.
We're here now. When I say something, I stand on it.
Yeah.
When I say something, I mean it.
And I mean it. 5 rounds or less, I mean it, and I stand on that. You would not make it past 5.
Yeah, but you talk anyway for kicks and views, bro.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah, but you talk.
You don't.
But I don't listen to what you're saying. I don't listen to people who quit.
You don't.
I don't listen to people who quit.
Got it.
You have no minerals. You have no balls. You have no werewolves. You have no werewolves.
You have no werewolves.
You have no werewolves.
And I'm going to speak Spanish to you when you're on the floor.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah. All I care about Do you know what werewolves is?
All I care about is when you're down. Exactly. I might say,
exactly. 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 You don't know. You don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's balls.
He's pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure it's balls. I love how the British boxer is asking the Mexican dude of Mexican descent about huevos.
You know what huevos is?
You know what that is?
You know what it is, eh?
You know what I mean by that?
Yeah, come on.
Do you? Holmes?
Bloody wanker.
Just a little bit more.
Bro, you ain't about that life.
Just
please,
got
stop
here.
Talking
so
about it.
You
ain't
about
that
life.
You ain't about that life.
Who made you about
you
that life?
You ain't about that life.
What kind of life? Where did you come
from? I come
from
my dad's
Where'd you come
from? That's where I come from.
Cool, my dad's nutsack. Cool, same
what
thing.
What nutsack's that? Yeah. American nutsack.
UK nutsack.
What are we talking about?
What's better nutsack? What makes a better nutsack? US or UK?
Oh, you just say you're Mexican and all that.
What are you talking about?
You ain't got no heart, man. You ain't got no werewolves.
So what made you have heart?
What makes a better nutsack?
Out of those two face-to-face appearances from two different type of fighters, which one are you sitting saying, man, I want to watch that?
Yeah, it's Garcia and Ben.
Yeah, clearly.
For sure.
Number two.
Clearly.
Mark B on the Scantron.
Mark B on that Scantron.
Clearly. Yeah, but Spencer's fighting this Saturday, y'all. Fighting this Saturday. What's a good reason to run up the score on the team?
They've disrespected you. They did it to you last time you met. It's a revenge game. They tried to fight you. You know, the coaches barking at your coach.
Ah, the coaches.
Yeah.
The coaches. Yeah, the coaches. Well, this has got to be one of the wildest reasons to run up the score on a squad right here. And a coaching tactic that I just do not have the heart for, guys. Let's go to Tennessee for some high school football.
Oh, no.
Warren County, where the Warren County Sports Authority podcast keeps us abreast of all the ongoings in sports in Warren County, all right? They had on a Tennessee high school coaching legend, Gary Rankin. Gary Rankin. And Gary Rankin tells a story about his time working with as an assistant coach for this legendary Tennessee high school coach, Bobby Newby. Now, Bobby Newby sounds like a legendary coaching name, Bobby Newby right here. There was a coach that ticked Bobby Newby off one time via his motivational tactics for his team. He wanted to fire his squad up, and this is how it went.
Let me back up and say something about running the score up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Bobby Newby did it one night.
Oh, yeah.
I was on his staff. Bobby wasn't there. We went to play Lebanon High School, and we were the favorite. We were really good.
Yeah.
We were the favorite. And right before the game, they're warming up and stuff, and we see ambulances. We see all this crazy stuff going on. And their head coach had a heart attack.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, we've got to go back over on our sideline, get on the knee, break her warm-ups up, do all this, and we wait and wait and wait. Finally, they load this cat up, and they take him off. And we go in. They said, we're still going to play the game, you know, yak, yak, yak. We come back out, and we're on the sideline, get ready to send the captains out. They've got their team. All of a sudden, you hear this sort of a roar, and here comes that guy that had a heart attack, their head coach. He's running underneath the goalpost out to the middle of the field doing some of this stuff, trying to get his trying to get his squad. This guy was in a faked it.
That's the greatest story I've ever heard.
He came out, and I'm sure Coach Bennett, some of you can remind you, all of a sudden he's healed. He's healed, and he's going to rally this bunch that probably didn't have a chance. I mean, they were okay, but I mean, it teed Bobby Newby off. He was so mad. I think we ended up beating him 69-0. But that was a case where somebody was going to pay because it threw us off, and it was about as unprofessional. Now, that guy was a I found out later. He was a card. He wasn't there but a year or two.
Yeah, that's the wildest thing I've ever heard in my life, bro. I tell you, I don't have the heart for that right there. Yeah. Making a heart attack out there.
Yeah, fake
you don't know
it.
Who in or your wife might be. You got to tell her beforehand.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, I'm going to fake a heart attack. So when you see me out there holding my chest, it's just for the squad. We're trying to win this one.
Genius motivational tactics.
Great motivational tactics.
Whatever next it takes. Level, man.
Yeah.
This guy must have been super out of shape. Very believable. Everybody's like, yeah. We were kind of thinking this could happen on any given Friday night. Finally got him. What a crazy tactic.
Very bizarre.
Gary Rankin, by the way, big-time coach in Tennessee. Like a 5-time state champ.
Oh, yeah. Multi-time.
Yeah, Rankin.
Yeah.
And then Bobby.
Big time. He's in that Hall of Fame.
Hey, 940 still hasn't hit us back, bro. 940 that was getting you on about Sirianni and the AI stuff.
Yeah.
He hasn't hit you back to say, my bad.
No,
they won't.
I was wrong.
They won't.
You were right. Oops, I got the wrong information.
That ain't still happening. In denial.
Still
that ain't happening.
Do your research, guys.
Yeah. So mean, man. All right, my name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. That's my time. I'm out of here. Peace.
Thank you, sir. It's LA Live every night, 5:40 here in the G-Mag
Nation. My headphones were broken that whole segment, by the way. Just
nice
want to
job.
Let you know, if it sounded any kind of weird, it was hella strange to me.
Pulled it off.
I'm hustling through it.
Whole time. We got four down, 30 minutes to go. Proper round tripper coming up, old Chuck.
Yeah, we'll tell you about this Rangers lineup and a possible new addition to the pitching rotation. That's next in the Nation.